Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Saints. This is your host, Tafwe Naioni of In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio. I'm broadcasting from Durham, North Carolina. Today, our guest is Minister William Burton, who is founder of Noah's Ark Ministry. He is also considered a neo-indigo street poet, singer, and he is a songwriter, as well as being a social and environmental activist. Dr. Burton is also a motivational speaker and has toured with such notables as Les Brown, Jack Canfield, the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, as well as Reverend Michael Beckwith of The Secret, and I'm sure we're all familiar with that program. And he hasn't called in yet, so I'll give him a few minutes. But also, if you're interested in learning more about Minister Burton, you can visit him at his MySpace page, which is www.myspace.com/WNMD Burton. And I understand from his wife that he's at an activity at the fairgrounds here in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm not sure if he's performing or something, and that may be very well be the delay, the reason for his delay in calling in. But I do understand he is supposed to call into the show. So we'll give him a few more minutes. And he also has a CD out, and the CD is entitled 21 Days to a Happy New You. So while we wait for him to call in, I'd like to go ahead and give you a listen to a little bit of that soundtrack.
Servant of my higher self, why should thoughts be controlled? She complied to help after it is all boiled down. Creed and thoughts all that left. I just thought there is nothing else. I am your dark genie. You created me.
Well, it looks like he is calling in now. So let me. Minister Burton?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you today?
I am blessed and highly favored.
And I understand you have quite a morning going on there out of
yeah,
the ground.
Had an outdoor concert to perform.
Okay, well, we really appreciate you taking time out to call into the show today.
Sure. It's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure.
What's the activity out there today?
Just from time to time I go out and I create kind of a music pavilion there at the fairgrounds. And they have the largest flea market in the state with 5,000 people coming through there over a weekend, and I perform the music for them.
Oh, okay. And it looks like we have someone calling into the show already. Hold on a moment. Let me put them on the air.
Sure.
Caller, you're on the air live with Dr. William Burton. Thank you for calling in.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, do you have a comment or a question for Dr. Burton?
My name Toofy, and Toofy feel real depressed lately. Me not know what to do.
Okay, well, Toofy, can you hold on a second, and we can talk about that in a little bit, okay?
Oh, okay, I stay on.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay, well, I don't know what that's about, but we'll have to him later.
it was very interesting, but didn't sound really authentic, but I hope I'm not on the air.
Well, yeah, you are, and I think we kind of lost that caller. He may have hung up.
Okay.
But anyway, I know you're involved in so many things. What are some of the projects that you're working on now?
Well, I had a very blessed thing happen to me the other day. A gentleman called me from Community Success Initiative and asked me if I would be open to working at Employment Securities Commission. And I kind of negotiated and ask what I'd be doing and stuff like that. And I found out I'd be working with ex-offenders, helping them find jobs because the middle class has been so hard hit lately by the economy that now they're competing for the same jobs kind of as a second income to help cover their gas prices. Excuse me. And so it seems that while these people are, the so-called middle class, are applying for these second jobs to get another income to help pay and cover their gas expenses to commute to their first job.
Hello?
I'm sorry. To commute to their first job, then the ex-offenders who have just gotten out and are trying to get their footing and are trying to get into these entry-level jobs, they're all kind of meeting and jamming up at the door, and there are not enough jobs. And some of the companies have seen fit to send jobs overseas, and then the price of gas seems to be debilitating some independent, smaller companies that usually hire the individuals. Those smaller companies usually help hold down the unemployment rate. Those companies are now distressed. So we have a wonderful challenge before us, and I decided to take on the challenge, of course, and everything is really working well. I'm learning things every day. One of the things I learned was that those people who work at the Employment Security Commission, I actually said in staff meeting, I really thought I was going to run into a bunch of negative burnout people. Mm-hmm. And what I actually ran into were a bunch of practicing Christians who are really caring about the people that they're dealing with. And really, really, they're understaffed and they're overwhelmed, but they're really handling it with grace and passion and faith. And I just got up in staff meeting and I said, I'm impressed and I stand corrected for my assumptions.
And that's going to make all the difference in their productivity and that the measures as far as the success rate in placing people in positions that would give them the income that they need to survive.
Oh, yes.
Because if you're not passionate about what you're doing in any job, in any position that we hold, you know, that comes across to the people that we're trying to help, and they definitely sense that. And either you have an optimistic, positive outlook about what you're doing, or it's pessimistic, and that's going to project on the people who we're trying, who we're put in these positions to serve.
And what you're saying is so 100% correct. Who needs to lose their job and then walk into an Employment Securities Commission and meet another negative person? I mean, they just don't need that on their plate.
Absolutely.
And so I'm just so happy to be there with all of these wonderful people who really work hard and attempting to find positions help people fill out their resumes and all sorts of things they do to help a person become more employable.
Well, it sounds like you're very excited about what you're doing, and I'm sure you'll be successful in finding jobs and helping those individuals that are looking to you for that service.
Well, thank you. And I was actually taken away. You know, I've been a global warming activist for a long time, and I'm actually now, and that's part of my passion due to my 8 grandkids. And so I've been doing that almost 100% of the time in the process of performing my music. But now I'm kind of splitting my passion to help people, and all of it's about actually service and helping. But I'm doing a lot in the global warming fuel efficiency arena also. So this is all coming together, and I'm finding out people can't get to work because they don't have enough gas money, and there are some people who are quitting their jobs because they're spending $100 a week for gas to get to a job that's on the plan paying $200 or $300 a week. And I don't think that the public really sees all of the trials and tribulations that a struggling single parent, you know, goes through, and it's really helpful and hopeful that we all start to become, in our churches and wherever we are, become aware of the people struggling around us.
Absolutely. And I think for the most part, the public is quite aware of that. The ones who aren't as aware may be the political officials
and the ones in power
who have the authority to make the change, to change the laws or whatever it needs to be done to bring these prices down to a more affordable level for those who don't make the $50,000 and $60,000 and $70,000 income. You know, during this campaign, and I didn't really want to go on into that because that's not the focus of today's discussion.
Sure.
But since we're there, I'll say this, that, you know, with the political stuff that's going on right now, you hear them talk mostly about the middle class, you know, the higher income people, but they act like it's no low income people. You know, what about
mm-hmm.
those that are the working class poor?
Sure,
in other words,
sure.
who's taking up their causes? But
that's
I thank
right.
God that we have people like you doing the things that you're doing with the Employment Commission to try to do whatever is possible to help these people.
Yes, and there are many, many ways that people can help themselves move forward. And what you just said about the middle class, see, some people, when they speak of the middle class, they act like they are in existence. I mean, I'm talking about political. When the political structure speaks of the middle class, they act like they're kind of independent of everyone else. You see, but these class systems are based, the one below it is the foundation for that one, you know? And so the middle class is the foundation of the upper class. And the grassroots people, they are the literal roots, and they are the source of energy that helps support the middle class, you see. So what we're going to have to all realize is that we are all in this together, and every one of us must make sure that each and every one of us are helping each other and not allowing. Not allowing ourselves to be divided.
Absolutely. And Minister Burton, one of the things that I'm learning through my study of Christ's life on earth is that he always accepted people wherever they were at any point in their lives. And when they sought him out, it seems like before he even performed any type of miracle for them, he'd refer them back to their thoughts,
mm-hmm.
saying things like, what do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe? Or as you think, be it unto you.
Right.
So what would you say to the listening audience about the relevance of the things we think about all the time? And before you answer that, though, I'd like to let the listeners know that if they want to call in, have a question for Dr. Burton, the number to call in is 646-716-5180. And
what I want you to do is just clarify that question just a little bit so I make sure that I answer the question properly.
What would you say to the listening audience about the relevance of the things that they think about, that we think about all the time? Because I know you and I spoke before in the past, and we always
mm-hmm.
talk about our thoughts.
Right.
And how significant that is in our
right.
lives.
Okay, now I got where you're going now. Great. One of the things that I want to say is we all have an internal dialogue. We all have a litany of self-talk that we do with ourselves. We have an ongoing conversation with ourselves all the time. And I will guarantee anybody who's listening today that the dominant thoughts in your conversation are going to appear in your life as circumstances. You see, what we think about the most and what we have a conversation with in reference to how we feel about the planet, if we walk around thinking that there is not enough, then our experiences will continuously be not having enough. If we go around feeling that there's all sufficiency, that the Creator has provided everything for us, and that we're walking around in the Garden of Eden, we will start to feel abundance and a blessedness. And there are a whole bunch of things that I help people do in order to maintain. Most people don't know that we think 50,000 thoughts a day, and they just let those thoughts run rampantly through their mind willy-nilly without any control, without any delete buttons, you know, for the negative thoughts, without really realizing that they get to choose the direction of their life by choosing the direction and quality and positivity of the ongoing internal dialogue, those ongoing 50,000 thoughts we think each day. And then what people don't also, some people haven't discovered that only 7%, and you and I have talked about this a lot, and only 7% of what we say to the world, what we communicate to the world, is communicated through our spoken word. 38% is communicated through facial expressions, tonal qualities, and stuff like that. And 55% of how we communicate with the world is through our body language. So 93% of how we really communicate to the world around us is non-verbally. And our internal dialogue, that self-talk, that ongoing conversation that we have with ourselves, becomes 93% of how we communicate with the world around us. And they pick up on that, and the world around us reacts to that and conforms to those unconscious requests that we're making.
And that's interesting, the unconscious requests that we're making. And I think a lot of people aren't really aware of how important those unconscious, it's like that self-talk that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't realize the impact of that. You know, you're thinking about these things, and the conversations that you're having with yourself influences your life and your circumstances. And the way to change your circumstances and change your life is to change the way that you think about that. Instead of focusing on the negative elements, start thinking positive and looking toward the end result that you'd like to see happen out of that particular circumstance. Because I think that's one of the things that Christ illustrated in his life also. He always talked about the end result. He never focused on a problem or the steps that you need to take to get there.
Sure.
It's like, well, this is what's happening now, but this is what's going to happen, and this is where we are right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's from my perspective, that is completely accurate, in that we have the power. And the other thing that I know is that when I tell people that I'm going to teach you how to find your UFOs, you know, and they say, what is a UFO? And I said, that's your unidentified forgiveness opportunity. Sometimes we have these things in our lives that we have not dealt with. They're, you know, we have not, I have realized that I've been looking at presidents and then looking at different political figures, I've realized that I need to come to a level of forgiveness about this whole situation. I found myself extremely angry 8 years ago about the election and everything and the way things went. And I realized that I had to step back from that and realize that, first of all, the Creator is in charge, and that I really had to start forgiving, you know, myself for thinking these negative thoughts, and then forgiving others that I had accused of doing untoward and unseemly acts in order to win. I realized that I had to really, really start to let all of that go, because once we start to identify our UFOs, our unidentified forgiveness opportunities, every time we discover one and forgive it and let it go, we become more empowered.
Absolutely. And forgiveness is so significant, especially to our health, because a lot of times we may harbor unforgiveness, and the person who we're angry at or upset with or haven't forgiven has gone on with their lives.
Exactly.
Or sometimes years. It's amazing to me how long people carry on grudges for things that have happened to them against another person for years.
Exactly. You know, I am a performing artist, and I was upset with an establishment over the way I had been treated a couple of years before, and something told me to that was a UFO and that I needed to forgive it. And so the way I showed myself that I forgave that situation, I went back in and attempted to do business with these people again. Although I had thought that, you know, some shoddy decisions had been made about me, etc. Right? Do you know I walked into that place and I found out they had new owners? And these people didn't even know who I was. And I told them I was a musician. They just loved my music and hired me. And I felt so silly because for years I hadn't even gone into the place. There was no way for me to know that there was new management until I forgave and then walked back through the doors. And we do that all the time.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, once we release that forgiveness to the universe, you know, somehow it makes its way to the person, or in your case, the situation, and it works out.
It really does.
And sometimes that other person will feel that vibration, for lack of better words right now, and then they'll pick up the phone and call you. You know,
exactly.
And a lot of times that's a test, too, for us. You know, but just to release it and
mm-hmm.
let it go
right.
frees us up to move to the next level. Seriously.
It really does. It really does. It really does. And there's another serendipitous blessing, you know, that we receive when we start to let go of the stress of making someone else or some circumstance wrong. It really enhances our health to let go of that stress. It is a very healthy thing to do physically,
absolutely.
Not only spiritually.
Absolutely.
Physically, it's a very healthy thing to do.
Because if we want to prosper in any area of our lives and be healed, you know, we have to clean up our lives and clean out our lives. And
mm-hmm.
and that's one way of doing it is through mm-hmm. forgiveness.
Oh, yes, yes. And that's why Christ appeared on the planet. That was his job description. and we're the better for it.
Mm-hmm. And the word forgive, it just simply means to give up.
Yes.
You know, it's yeah. not, forgiveness isn't unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to say you're sorry for something, you know, a lot of times that has to do with pride.
Mm-hmm. That's
you know,
true.
We're too proud.
Yes.
To say that we may have been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd rather harbor the bitterness and the anger toward these other people rather than to say, well, I was wrong. Can you please forgive me? And it's
yes.
an inner act that leaves us in peace with ourselves and other people.
Wow, and peace is very important. Peace is very important. I have he's a motivational speaker like myself, Mr. Dennis Gaddy, and his idea of forgiveness is this. When you get to a place where it's as if it never happened, that's when you've truly forgiven.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, we need to go to the Father and ask him, who do I need to forgive?
Sure,
because,
sure.
You know, when we have things occurring in our lives, we have to look. Because even in the Lord's prayers, it's like, forgive us our debt as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes we don't read that slowly enough.
That's right, because one person knowing and declaring
mm-hmm.
words of forgiveness for everyone and everything in every situation, like we said,
mm-hmm.
can dissolve that problem.
Yes, yes, yes. And the other thing we're talking about, thoughts and how they create our lives, the other thing that I wanted to add about that is humans are not in touch with, at a conscious level, how powerful small increments of change can affect your life. When I talk to young people, I give them this example. I take two young men, say, and I dress them up identically, and I stand them on a bus stop. One young man is waiting to go to college, and he's catching the bus to go to class, right? And the other young man, I say, identical, in every respect, IQ and everything. The other young man stands there on that corner and drinks wine all day. I said, maybe the first day, two or three days, you might not be able to tell those individuals apart. But 2 to 3 years later, you will be able to easily tell them apart. You see, because the small increments of of change and the negativity of a life not pursuing one's dreams and stuff, while the small increments of change that happens in a person's mind and spirit and soul when they are progressing towards an admirable goal, those affect people in different ways. And I said, 2 years later, you look at those people, and you'll definitely be able to pick which one is who.
Absolutely. And we have about 4 minutes left remaining. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to give you the opportunity, Minister Burton, to give the callers information if they'd like to reach you or contact
sure.
you to get more information about what you're doing. Well, and also to get mm-hmm. a copy of your CD, because I'm going to play a little bit of it before we close.
I heard. I got on the phone and heard me.
and you know, that is one of my favorite sides on that CD.
Thank you.
So we're definitely going to play a little bit of that as well. But
thank
I'd like
you.
To give you a moment to get out your
sure.
contact information.
Well, I'm going to tell people on my email address how they can contact me. And that's Noah's Ark. noah@yahoo.com. Now, that's not the biblical Noah's Ark. Noah, this Noah's Ark is K-N-O-W-E-R-S, Noah's Ark, A-R-K, 1. That's K-N-O-W-E-R-S, A-R-K, 1, @yahoo.com. Now, I have been blessed with a network of people behind me, 80 or so people in my network who are becoming fuel efficiency consultants. And these people will teach you how to reduce your fuel cost by 10-15%. And so anyone interested in that kind of thing can either go to my email and send me an email, or I will give them my phone number also, which is 919-954-1787. And I'll say that again, 919-954-1787, because we must all unite. I always say that the 23rd Psalm said we would lie down in green pastures. And I said, I've been running around in the city looking for green pastures. P-A-S-T-O-R-S. Okay. So if you know a green pastor, please connect us, because Reverend Milton C. Jordan Sr. and myself have a project that's really starting to not only bless people who need other streams of income, but to bless us in reference to that I call it a drive-by suicide commute to work,
uh-huh.
you know, because we are polluting ourselves out of a livelihood, and there is a way to turn that around. And quite frankly, I found out this solution that we had, actually the military has had it for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
They just released it a few months ago for civilians. So that being as it may, we have it in hand now, and we can start to turn this thing around in reference to wiping out these small businesses due to fuel cost while holding down the price of food due to the fuel cost.
Absolutely, and we'll certainly keep that in mind. And we have about 1 minute left. But before we close, I'd like to say that I'm thankful that I have a bountiful crop of eclectic spiritual friends and rare treasures that have enhanced my life.
Mm.
And whenever I need to reach into my treasure chest, I can always count on finding a rare gem like you, Minister.
Oh, thank you very much.
I truly appreciate you, and I pray that the Spirit of God will prosper and keep you in health as your soul prospers. Thank you so much for your time, Minister Burton. And
well, thank you for
like
the invitation.
Thank again our guest, Reverend Minister William Burton, and thank the listeners for tuning in the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Tafwe Naioni. Please feel to visit our website at http://womeninthelord.net for more information. And Minister Burton, I think this sounds familiar to you. And thank you for calling in.
control. She complied to help after it is all boiled down. Created thought is all that's left. After thought, there is nothing else. I am your thought genie. You created me. I'm all your thoughts collected. Your hidden identity. Your desire to know the truth is what has brought me here. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. To let your mind wander any way you please, and your health will wander.